Okay, these are recordings with Dr. Chetna Kripalu regarding the meditation area of angel wing. My question is regarding vibration. You've talked about that a lot, and in various recordings you've talked about that, as also in the meditation groups you've talked about vibration. So I thought maybe we could take this opportunity today to explore what you mean by this word vibration, because you know, this has very broad meanings in physics and with musical instruments and a lot of other areas also, as well as in terms of meditation. You know, so when you're using the word vibration, what is it that you're actually referring to? And if you can please elaborate on that.
Yeah, so we are all energy beings, as we know. So it comes from energy. Let's start from a little bit from energy.
Yeah, just start at the very basic with that.
Right. So I think that's where we have to start. So what is energy? Energy is, as we know, everybody knows they have this, you know, whether I have energy, I don't have energy, I have low energy, have, you know, feeling weak because I don't have energy. We kind of know that. So that's what energy is at a basic level. But to go a little deeper, we are essentially energy beings because we do have, and this is more of, I would say complementary medicine or energy medicine, because there's a lot of, research done on this whole topic of energy or vibrational medicine. And what it is we have, 14 different, meridians, which are the major meridians. What meridian means, they're pathways of energy, energies in our body, which govern or control, different systems in our body. Mm-hmm. And apart from that, we have energy, vortexes. That means there is energy, focused energy centers in our body throughout our spine and more. And there's certain other circuits called radiant circuits and many more. So if you look at the whole picture, we are full of energy. You know, there's a lot of energy beings before you look at all this physical appearance of matter, which is your muscles, your bones, your circulation, you know, which we have done, which is proof, which you can actually see with your eyes. But the energy medicine, you know, has been the way they found all this out by measuring it. There are meters which measure your radiation. It's called electromagnetic frequencies in your, you know, which you radiate or you emanate. So when this energies in our bodies create a certain vibration, which is more felt than, it's a feeling actually, than I would say that can be actually seen, just like energy itself. There are a few people who have, I wouldn't say few people, I don't know, of course, a number of people, but there are many people who can actually see energy also. They call it aura, which is the, you know, lines or of colored, different colors around people. They can actually see even energies, pathways in people. And I know of people who can see. And they say, again, you know, this is, when I say they say, it's the energy medicine experts say that you can actually develop the you know, the technique to actually see these things. I haven't done that, but so it's not that you cannot, but it's more of, you know, it's a little bit over the normal range. So anyway, so the vibration comes from the energy. So it's a feeling. So when you say you're a higher vibration, that means it's the next level of the energy. Now, energy waxes and wanes. And how it does, it's connected to our thoughts. So every positive thoughts makes these energies, you know, circulate or, you know, through the meridians and pathways more effectively. And you are at a higher state of feeling or this vibration. That's the simplest way to describe it. And every negative thought actually does the opposite. Now, if you look at the level of the body, it's chemically based also. So there are certain chemicals released also, and which is connected to these hormones, and the hormones are connected to neurotransmitters, neurological system, and then even like, you know, the genetic modification, genetic expression actually, modifying the genes. So that is the physical level, but the energetic level is the one which is connected to the vibration.
Yes.
So that's what my understanding is about the vibration.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the act of meditation, or you know, consciously doing meditations, changes vibration, mm-hmm. right? So what is it that is changed? I mean, are we talking about a change in neurological process, neurophysiology? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. So it's like I was telling you, it's physiological, neurological, and energetic. So it's all different levels.
When you say energetic, what do you mean by that? That's the energy structure.
Exactly. So the energy, just like I described, all these pathways and everything. Because a lot of times when people have these, you know, let's say frustration is a commonest, you know, form of emotion, thought causing the emotion, that leads to these energies which are supposed to, you know, go through a certain pathway are scattered or blocked or congested.
Yes.
So when that happens, even before coming to the anatomical, physiological level, mm-hmm. we feel different things. And that is basically not feeling good in our head, not feeling good in our eyes, maybe not feeling good in our chest, and not necessarily even having come to that level of, you know, the heart beating fast and all that stuff, because that happens at the next level. For the immediate whatever you feel, the reaction or the response is at the energetic level. And that's why when you have a headache, you don't, if you do an MRI or if you do a CAT scan or if you do something, you're not going to see anything. Because the structural change happens over years if you're going through the same circuits. But what you feel is what we're talking at the energetic and the vibrational level.
So that's the experiential barometer.
Exactly.
So if someone, let's say, is experiencing worry, they're worried about something, right? Something about that might happen. So the experience of worry changes energy. Or could it be said that the change in energy, this energetic layer or level, is creating the experience of worry? Because, you know, the experience of worry is one's own experience. And it's psychological. It's also neurological. But is that experience created from the shift in energy at the energetic level, or is the energetic level shifted or changed because of the change in the psychological, neurological, physiological process?
So originally when it starts off, it is because of the thought and the, you know, the whatever the emotion
it brings
is what creates the energetic change.
So the energetic change is actually occurring due to changes at the psychological and biological level.
Yes.
Okay, I see. So,
and that energy change is what experiences physical discomfort.
So that energy, yes, so then it cycles back into the physical body. So when we talk about mind-body connection, you're really talking about mind-body-energy connection.
Correct.
You know, and then, so it's the mind-body-energy that are all vibrating in a certain way. That's where the vibration comes from.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So the energy and vibration go together, and when it's disrupted or congested or not flowing the way it's supposed to, it is definitely causing these symptoms. A lot of times, that's why when you see symptoms of whatever is happening or the person comes with, it cannot be validated with blood work, it cannot be validated with imaging, it cannot be confirmed or explained by these testing, because it hasn't it's not showing up in the physical anatomical state yet.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a good thing to recognize, because when you change, that's why when you change the mind-body connection, mm-hmm. you don't have to see the, you know, the consequence in the body. And we want to do that. That's the whole idea of prevention, where we want to change it in the energetic level, which is probably easier, to, you know, before it reaches the body. It takes more work and time to change at the physical level and the anatomical level. So this is the whole, at least the attempt to do that.
So various forms of meditation, types of meditation, the regularity of meditation, is directly touching the energy level.
Absolutely.
So you're kind of using your own energy. A person is, the meditator is using his or her own energy to meditate in such a way that changes energy itself. That changes the way energy is moving within the body.
Absolutely.
So it takes energy to meditate. So could you talk about that connection? Because if I decide that I'm going to meditate four times a day, because I make a decision, we talk about motivation, we talk about desires. Okay, I make a decision this way. I make a conscious decision. Okay, I'm going to sit for meditation. I'm going to do X, Y, Z, different practices. But that decision itself requires energy. That decision to meditate, to say, yeah, I want to meditate, because people have lack of motivation, they have low energy at times, and because if they feel low energy, then they feel, well, I don't have the energy to meditate.
We do need energy, but it doesn't take that much energy to meditate as much as we think.
Okay, so can you elaborate on that? Yeah.
So it is a choice. So literally you have to make a choice.
Okay.
Because to say that I will do it, because it's going to help me or change my energy or my vibration.
So I have to believe that that's going to happen, right? Okay, and I believe that because it's been time tested, right?
It's being time tested, and also you come to that point, what else can I do to improve my life? Or to, when I say improve, I guess in a way, to better my life.
Yes.
Or can I get to a better state of my being, where I would experience something more than what I'm actually experiencing right now, which is not a good state to be in.
So even exercise will fall into this, because even regular exercise, based on doctor recommendation and approval and whatnot, all of that is also a type of meditation.
Absolutely. And exercise is very huge to increase your energy level. There is no doubt about it. But meditation is a little easier if you look at it, depending on the tools you use,
yes,
than exercise. Exercise really needs, for example, somebody has chronic fatigue syndrome. Somebody has fibromyalgia.
Yes.
Somebody has hip problems. Somebody has other joint issues. They are not in a capacity to move as much as you could, you want to create the energy to actually feel better, like to create endorphins.
This is a good example, yes.
So those people, especially, it's not like they cannot do anything. They're stuck. So they could still meditate. So when I say meditate, again, the easiest thing is breathing, really.
Yes.
Breathing and refocus or focusing is like the heart focus we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
It is really easy to do those things, and you want to do it enough number of times so you're harnessing your own energy,
right,
to start working at different levels.
Exactly.
And that will actually heal in itself,
mm-hmm,
these physiological, mm-hmm, disabilities or handicaps you have, which would bring,
yeah,
you back into this whole... even though at a point to take care of yourself,
sure,
and motivate you to say, oh, I'm going to eat right, I'm going to be able to exercise. Ideally, you should be doing all these things
sure,
together. But I'm just giving you an example,
yeah, good, yeah,
of the comparison, where that doesn't mean meditation is better than exercise. That's
no,
not what I'm trying to say.
Or just a substitute for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm only saying that you could still do that if you have these disabilities or problems,
mm-hmm,
in your life,
mm-hmm,
you start with that, which might actually help you get back into a better state of health. It would get back to you a better state of mind, which will increase your motivation,
yeah. Yeah.
To actually do more.
Very much so, because, so many people are afflicted with what we would call psychological tensions, worries. For a variety of different reasons. So many, the specifics are all different, but most people carry tension, worry, they carry some kind of distress, they carry that with them. And the realization that my energy layer, my energetic structure can be significantly modified where the blocks are removed. That's a big point that you're emphasizing, and the follow-up question here is that how does one recognize the blocks? So would you say, or could you elaborate on how meditation itself helps in the recognition of the level of blockage? You know, removing the block is certainly what we're aiming towards. Right? Using that word block, but whatever other language may be more appropriate, I don't know. So maybe you can elaborate on what I'm asking here. I don't know.
Well, yes, because we don't spend enough time going inwards and observing ourselves. So the more awareness you bring to your body, you know, if there is pain somewhere,
yes,
then that's a block of energy.
Yes.
If there is discomfort somewhere, that's a block of energy. So that's why energy medicine is huge. And I do recommend people looking into it more, even doing like the 5-minute energy exercise by Donna Eden. And she's done a lot of research on this, that it's very unique and helpful at different levels. And even, for example, the other ways of blocked energy is when you feel scattered, when you're overwhelmed, you're in all over the place. Your energies are not integrated. That's why you feel they overwhelm.
Mm-hmm.
People who get dizzy because they're, thinking of so many things at the same time. At the end of the day, you know you're tired, so you're depleted. All these are reasons because your energy pathways are not integrated or not running the way they should be, you know.
When you use the expression integrated energy or energy pathways being integrated, you know, what does that mean exactly? Because, you know, we all have a sense that there's energy. Sometimes we feel tired or we feel really energetic, or, you know, someone who is experiencing euphoria experiences a lot of energy. So we all experience energy in different ways in the context of other experiences. But when you're saying that energy can be integrated, and through that integration that impacts the brain, the body, the other areas of one's life, you know, what do you mean by integration of energy?
So,
or what is integration of energy?
Yeah, so energies, there are circuits in the body.
Yeah.
So they usually run a certain pathway. They have a certain way of, you know, they have certain paths in our body. And that's why they call it as meridians. That's the main pathways.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, there is different vortexes which have certain energies which
energy
are running through the through the spine.
Yeah.
But if they're not doing that and they're interrupted because of thoughts and emotions and everything, and they're not doing what it's supposed to. Just like your body, if they're not functioning the way they're supposed to, the blood circulation is not supposedly not working or circulating its way, people get hypertension or hypotension, meaning increased blood pressure or low blood pressure, or if the every system is not working properly, then it's going to cause problems. So that's the same thing in the energies. If the pathways are not, because they're, what integration means, the proper channels through which each energy meridian runs, if they're not doing that, they're not integrated.
Right.
So that's what it means. So if they're not happening, that's when you experience certain discomforts in your body, you
mm-hmm,
know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But they're not necessarily the physical body, but the energy body.
Yes, yes, yes. Right.
Just to kind of
differentiate the two systems, yeah. So just as different medications impact the functioning of the physical body, just as, let's say, psychotherapy or counseling process or coaching or whatever impacts, you know, the mind and impacts relationships or can help mentally, meditation is directly touching energy structure or energy layer, energy body, that is even deeper than the mind. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. So it is, mind is an instrument for whatever purpose you have, what action you have to perform.
Yeah, a tool.
Correct. So you want to use it as a tool. Unfortunately, you know, mind uses us. That's what happens, and that's why we're in trouble. But what happens with meditation and breathing, because it's a combination of both, breathing is essentially a biggest tool. It is more than just respiratory system. It is much, much deeper than that, because the breath has been connected to the energy systems on the whole. So it really, really integrates the whole energy system by, the spinal centers, which has these vortexes. It allows it to run through itself.
Yeah.
And there's different kinds of breath work, which actually harnesses so much of one's energy. Is that's why you experience different states of energy. When you do more breath work, more meditation, you realize that you have so much energy to electric, to illuminate a whole city which we don't know. Yeah. And that's how powerful we are. And we don't realize that because it always scatters because of every thought. And it is not integrated. So by meditation, the more you integrate, the more you harness it, the more you see that you are actually at a different state of mind. You're a different state of being. Forget the mind again.
Which is the higher vibration.
Exactly. That's what we call it as a higher vibration. The only way to experience is to meditate more and more. Mm-hmm. And to use this as a tool to see how much you can harness. So that also, that's why when you harness so much energy already you have, you don't even need food because food is for energy.
Yeah.
And then the food becomes more as a recreation.
Yeah.
And so you really don't have to depend. And I'm only talking of a really
high
states
level.
Of vibration.
Sure.
So, and they have done this, even human beings nowadays. There are a group of people who call themselves as breatharians. And it's real. It's not that. But because what they have done, it's not magic or it's not a miracle. They have learned to, by different healing techniques or ancient healing techniques, where they can harness these energy already and they don't have to connect it with food. So that is how powerful we have. We already have everything in us. That's how human beings are so energy beings more than anything else, mm-hmm. you know, much more than that. But to simplify it, we call them energy beings.
Yes, yes. So it's a good in-depth conversation we're having, you know, because it seems to me that most people do not see the significance of energy conservation. I mean, you know, or energy activation. You know, so there's energy conservation, there's energy activation, there's energy coalescence or energy harmonization, you know, as you're saying. But the absolute, you know, personal buying into what you're saying, that we can reintegrate our energies, it seems to me that that is a massive motivator for very much regular, sustained practice. You know, because people may start the meditation practices, but so this is my question. You know, what promotes sustained practice? I mean, in my mind, it seems like what you just described, if somebody really buys into that, would promote that. But maybe you can say something more about, you know, the sustained nature of this.
So that's a difficult thing because, you know, that is the problem.
And that is the problem, yeah. People are excited in the beginning about so many things.
Because they cannot, again, because they're not they don't go inward enough to figure out what they really want from life or what they want. And once you don't have that, you're just living by. You're just existing just day to day. You're doing the same thing again and again. You're just going to work, coming back, taking care of your family, doing the basic things. Okay, you want a break, you go for vacation. This is all they think life is all about. But if you go deeper, that's when you figure out that there could be something more. How can I, is this all there is in life? Is there something more I can do with my life in the near future? When you start asking questions like that is when you feel like there is a better answer and you keep the quest going. And that is what leads you to sustained meditation or sustained practices. It is hard otherwise. Yes, it feels good for a few days. And this is the problem with in anything, even in nutrition. And you go through beginning of the year, everybody's excited. Everybody wants to lose weight or for a reason. A new resolution will last for like 2 months, 3 months, and people give up. Because there's not strong enough motivation and reason for them to look inwards and say, why do I want to do this? And the same thing with exercise. Why do I want to do this? It is simple if you really look at it because it makes me feel better. But we kind of succumb so much to our thought patterns, the old default thought patterns, the old forms, everything which is established because it's more familiar. It may not be the most comfortable place to live. It may not be something even you like living in, but you're so used to being in, that's become your familiar vibration to live in, that you'd rather do that than kind of make improvement. Because making improvement means that you have to go out of this familiarity zone or just comfort zone to make a change. But every time you go into outside the comfort zone, your body reminds you that, oh, wait a minute, this doesn't feel good. Why am I doing this? And so you go back to the familiarity mode and say, oh, this actually feels not good, but it's familiar. That's the problem with our circuits. And so that's what, if we want to interrupt the circuits, we have to go beyond it. And that's the motivation one needs to build. And that has to come from within. And to give each of us have to go inwards and say, why do I want to do this?
And it's also really a personal journey. It's a matter of personal experience. Because the more one exercises regularly, the more one meditates regularly, and is really moving towards self-development, the personal experience can be a motivator in itself. You know, so if progression is happening, then the person will be motivated to progress further. But if a person feels stagnated, I guess this is a question, it relates very much also to the whole energy system that we were talking about, or that you were talking about. You know, if a person feels stagnated in doing the meditation, they're doing it, let's say, they're doing 3 times, 4 times a day, but they don't feel much change, which could happen also. They don't feel that they're making progress, or it's not really, you know, benefiting them as much as they thought it might. What is your recommendation in such a situation?
So the thing is, again, these things take time. So one shouldn't, exactly. Yeah. Patience is the key for everything. The thing is, you may not see the change visibly, but there's internal change happening. There is this Chinese story, which I, you know, kind of reminded of, which is kind of very pertinent in this. So they had a group of monks plant bamboo plants. Mm-hmm. And apparently the way, I've never seen a bamboo plant, but apparently it's like little seeds which go in. And what it does is you plant them under the, you know, a soil, you know, put the fertilizer, you water them, you do everything. But what the group of monks saw that, you know, it took, they went and saw them every month, because they were told it's going to be slow. Mm-hmm. And there was nothing growing up. Yes. And, of course it made them sad. Then they came back and looked at it every 2 months. Mm-hmm. Still nothing. Then they came and looked at every 3 months. There was still nothing growing on top. And then, same thing happened. 6 months went by, a year went by, 2 years went by. And, they were very frustrated and they began asking their, senior monk who had actually asked them to do this. And, when they, came to the third year when they started, little green saplings come up, mm-hmm. and they were so excited and everything, but they were so upset that why it took so long, they went and asked the senior monk. And the senior monk told them that while you do not see anything growing up, this plant was building really big and strong roots underneath, so that when this shoots, when they come up, they shoot really, you know, big and high, they're able to sustain and they're able to stand for a long period of time. Very nice. So it is very important to remember that even though you don't see outwards, you may not see it because you'll have certain measures which you compare with, like, I should be this way or I should be that way.
Right.
But you will see that other people will see a change in you. That is another thing, that they're going to see, like, oh, you've actually changed. I don't know what it's about you. It's not your dress. It's nothing about you. It's not your weight. You know, it's not anything else. But there's something different about you. So that also starts happening when you know that, you know, you have to be persistent. This is the key for everything. Consistency is the key for anything in your life as we know it. But the fact is that, so it is not difficult. That's the point. Awareness is the key. Again, remember, that's why you have to set tools for the whole day. It is not enough if you just meditate in the morning and you forget the rest of the day. This is why we have these alerts, reminders. Every couple of hours, you have this alert or this particular chime which you have, which will remind you, breathe. Just mm-hmm. enough for you to breathe through your heart, out of your heart. You're expanding your heart to bring that alignment through the day. And before you go to bed, you do the same thing. In a month, in 2 months, in 3 months, there is definitely some changes you're going to see. If you are not sleeping better, you're going to sleep better. If you're not, your blood pressure was too high all the time, you're going to see a change.
Right, exactly.
And you have to do that. That is one part of it. The other part of it is, you really want, and this is a whole new topic, maybe we can do another recording, on that, is how do you heal from in your body. And that comes with when you meditate, when you reach a certain age, state, in the meditation, you want to imagine a future, what you want to build. And that is actually the key to complete healing and to create in the power of manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a whole different thing, but that is the key.
So we'll pick that up next time. Okay, very good. Sure. Dr. Chetna, thank you very much. That was very insightful, wonderful. And once again, thank you.
It was good.